Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Superb second half performance as the Addicts tamed the Black Cats. They just couldn't find that winner. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. Coming to you live from the Valley here on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez. Joining me here on Charlton Live on Maritime Radio is Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, all good, thank you.
Yeah, you have had a good weekend?
It's all right, yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, is it? Yeah. Enjoyable.
Today, not so much. A day in blue water.
Yesterday
was good.
Nothing wrong with blue water. Joining the pair of us is Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How's your weekend been? You were at Bromley today shopping.
I was in Bromley shopping today. Yeah, Tom and I are both on the shopping.
Both under the thumb, you two, aren't you? And yeah. Joining the three of us here at the Valley, we don't see her for about 4 years, and then she's here twice in two shows. Sue Gallop, how you doing, Sue?
I'm really good, thanks.
Yeah, have you had a nice weekend?
Yeah, I've watched lots of football and fell asleep on the set A. So
yeah, see, that's how it's done. That's what you're supposed
perfect
to be doing.
Perfect Sunday.
Yeah. And I spent my Sunday down the Oakwood watching the women's team as well, so I've had a good day as well. Thank you for joining us on this evening's show. We've got a packed show for you. We're going to be looking back, of course, at yesterday's superb performance, if not result. I think we deserved a win. It was a 1-1 draw against Sunderland here at the Valley. So we're going to hear the highlights from that. We're going to speak, of course, to Addicts boss Lee Bowyer. We want to hear what you guys made of the performance as well. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Let us know what you made of the performance and who were your standout players. And also, we want to know what you made of our debutant, Jolly Williams, signed on a short-term deal from Crystal Palace. During the week, he had a bit of a cameo performance yesterday, final 20 minutes, but I was impressed. I wanted to know what you guys made of his performance as well. And then just towards the end of the show, we will hear a couple of bits of audio from today's 2-2 draw between Charlton Women and Durham. We're going to hear from the goal scorer Charlotte Gurren, of course, from the manager Ritesh Mishra. But before we dive into the highlights, Tom, first half, not so good. Second half, pretty damn good.
Was it Sven that used to say that? Yeah, I thought actually from about 35 minutes onwards, I thought that last 10 minutes of the first half we started to look a little bit lively. And then second half was probably one of the best I've seen us play all season, to be honest. They couldn't really get near us, and you go away from the game obviously very happy with a point, but that second half showing, I'm surprised we didn't get more really. Created a lot of chances, looked exciting, looked solid at the back, although they obviously got through a couple of times, but yeah, I thought we were the better side and thoroughly deserved at least a point.
I think most people were probably fearing what we were in for, Lewis, after the first 15, 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour. Sunderland obviously got that early goal and we seemed to be up against it, but we reacted well. And in that second half, I mean, it really should have been 3 points.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was sort of looking at it yesterday as typical Charlton, you know, a packed out stadium, big occasion, and then 1-0 down after a minute and a half. We were thinking, oh no. But yeah, like Tom said, about 35 minutes into the game, we started picking up the pace. And I think half time came at a bit of a rubbish time for us. I was thinking, oh, we're going to go in there now. And are we going to be able to keep up that momentum as we come out for the second half? And you know what? They really did. I was blown away, to be honest, by the performance in the second half. And like you say, really unlucky not to pick up the 3 points.
Sue, your second home game in as many games. So you've seen a progression. We will see. Had a fairly easy one against Gillingham just before Christmas, but yesterday up against such a good side, yeah. I imagine you must. That's a direct promotion rival, and anyone who's been maybe wondering whether we are still at that level, I think we've proved over the course of the season now against our direct promotion rivals that we are up to their level if we're on our game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been to the last 3 home games now, so with it, like yesterday being the third. And I mean, like as the boys have already said, it's like just seeing such an improvement in the way that we're playing, the way we seem to have gelled. Even like in the first half, I think I was saying to my friend sitting next to me, we looked a little bit leggy at times, and everyone, I sort of worried that maybe the Christmas period had kind of caught up with us because we have got such a problem with injuries at the moment. But as they said, like that. Sort of 10 minutes or so before half time, you just kind of we'll get going now. But and that second half was just phenomenal, like the way we was playing football, it was lovely to watch it like that. And I think you're right, we're definitely in with, we carry on playing like that. And I sort of thought last night, once we've got the players that are coming back from injury, what a squad we've got. If we manage to hold on to everyone in this window, we've got what a squad. That's just quality.
It's a massive if, of course, but we'll see. The Sunderland fans seem to be stunned into silence by Charlton's performance in that in that second half. Let's have a listen to it then. The highlights were brought to you from Valley Pass by Greg Stubley and by, of course, Terry Smith.
James out left to Gooch. Gooch into the penalty area, taking on Prattley. Out to his right-hand side, goes back left and then tees up Gooch against. Big switch across to the other side. Shot comes in and it's an opening goal from O'Neill on the right-hand side. And an early strike in the first 2 minutes, the Sunderland gives them the lead.
Stick still and lovely skill to take it past him, and then Billick, and he works the ball inside, takes a heavy touch, and now out to the right-hand side is McGeoch, and now Gooch. Gooch approaching the penalty area, in the penalty area, up against Solly, goes for goal off the post, and then White with the header over the bar.
My word, what a strike that was, and nobody was expecting it. Dylan Phillips, I wouldn't say was caught out, but there was no way he was getting in the way of it, and it hit the corner of the upright and the crossbar. And then Wyke tried to react in the 6-yard box, and all he could do was head it over the bar, but Charlton get away with one there.
Grant wide, he turns. Grant up against Baldwin, cuts inside onto his right foot, back out to his left, crossing opportunity, chips it in, headed away by Power. Out to Fosu. Fosu controls, ball inside to Grant, out left to Solly. Solly crossing opportunity, ball into the box, towards Prattley, headed away, comes down to Billick. Billick shoots! Oh! Just over!
Oh, what a goal that would have been. Chris Solly, who thought he had a left foot? Lovely cross in from Chris Solly. The ball headed clear. Billick did really well to meet it. And then almost like an impudent side foot chip
inches
into the left-hand corner. And that's a lick of paint away from going in.
That will be the half-time whistle as Sunderland go into the break with a 1-goal lead. Charlton Enders, Dick still has to head away again, but can't get hold of the ball, the Addicts. And they do so now with Grant. Grant trying to look for options. Oh, finds ball. Taylor on the right side. That's a good ball. Taylor looking to drive. At Baldwin, looking for options in the penalty area. It's been held up, Taylor. Taylor trying to turn. Flanagan in the box, drills it across. Deflection!
Yes! Come on!
11!
It's
an own goal as Lyle Taylor in the penalty area. Drills the ball across. I couldn't see who got the final contact. It's definitely a Sunderland player. And Charlton a level.
Oh, that's great work from Lyle Taylor. Superb work from Lyle Taylor.
Sorry, again, chipping it Paul forward, looking for the run of Taylor. He might find him as well. Taylor in the penalty area. Takes a shot. Saved away. And a run to Anthony Dick, still in the penalty area. Right hand edge, back across. Oh, cleared up in the air. And then grabbed at the last minute by Joe McLaughlin.
It's a fantastic save from McLaughlin. There's not much else Taylor could really do on his left foot. Just drills it across him, and McLaughlin gets a leg on it, and it just deflects away.
Halfway, a little touch to Williams, who turns. Little step over, trying to get past his man. Goes right to Prattley. Prattley further right is Dicksteel. Dicksteel crossing opportunity, Anthony Dicksteel. Ball into the box. Oh, it's flicked on. Oh, get there. Carlin Grant couldn't wrap his foot round it to bury it, and it's gone. Away for a goal kick.
What a chance for Carlin. I've lost my microphone. What a chance from Carlin. The ball in for Dixiel's great. It takes a deflection and it just bobbles up. It's a half volley in the end from Carlin on his weaker left foot. And it was a tough chance. It looked quite maybe simple because he was running onto it. Maybe, but because it's taken that bobble and just bounced up, he just tried to get anything on it. I just couldn't guide it goalbound, but Charlton have had so many chances this second half.
What more? Good great challenge. Tackle by Dick
good
still.
Challenge.
Come on, Charlton. Charlton on the attack. Williams out to his left. Williams, left-hand side of the penalty area, touched in the ground. Can he shoot? Blocked away by Flanagan. Grant back on it. Edge of the penalty area by the touchline. Looking to take on. He gets past Baldwin, but he can't keep it.
Him up. Ball infield looking for Maguire. Lovely tackle by Bellick, but Maguire rides it. And out to Watmore on the Charlton right. Ball back in the box. Over the bar.
From Watmore, chance.
Fed by McGeady, and that had goal written all over it, and he's put it over the bar. To the edge of the six-yard box, Sarwin ahead, flicked away, and there it is. That is the final whistle. An absolutely pulsating encounter between two very good sides. And Charlton dominated that second half to a point where you thought it would be the Addicts to take away the 3 points. It wasn't to be.
So there we go, the highlights from Valley Pass of yesterday's 1-1 draw with Sunderland. I think we probably even couldn't quite fit on the highlights the biggest chance, because the recording cut out just after we scored at Darren Prattley's header, because that was probably the best chance we had in that second half, but the best of many, Tom, because we had so many opportunities to win that game in that second half. And at half time, if you'd offered me a point, I would have bit your hand off, but by full time, I actually came away from that actually pretty disappointed.
Yeah, all week I would have taken a point happily. And then coming up to the game, I just had a little feeling that we were going to get something from the game. So when I saw us concede a minute in, I thought, right, well, clearly that's not going to happen then. But credit to them. And I think that first half, for me, like a lot of people were saying different reasons, and obviously we're not necessarily going to know. But to me, it just looked like nerves, because we weren't really playing our normal stuff. And I don't know if that was the case, but that's how it seemed. Because once we got over that and actually put our foot on the ball and did what we're good at doing, we blew them away. And we had so many chances that second half. And like you said, that Prattley one was probably the best chance. But I mean, Lyle had a couple as well, and Carlin had a go late on. And I mean, we could have easily beat them 3 or 4-1, and it wouldn't have been a shock based on the chances.
I just wonder, just obviously in that they scored after 2 minutes, which never helps, but they were so well organised as well that once they got their noses in front, every time we tried to play out with the ball, they were pressing us high, and we just weren't allowed to settle, which we've seen probably a couple of times. I think Coventry did that to us on Boxing Day as well, but just a couple of times. And the fact that we came away from that and managed to change it up a little bit, which we'll hear from Lee Bowyer later on, was impressive. But I think for me, that's probably why we weren't able to settle. It's because, don't forget, we were playing a very good team.
We were, and I just felt as if we were really boxed in that first half. I felt like Sunderland had sort of done their research and sussed us out, and you know, sort of every time they went forward, I was worried we were going to concede. But after the 35 minutes, when we started picking the pace up a little bit, we seemed to build in confidence, you know, and that G's the crowd up after going 1-0 down so early. So, you know, you're going at half time, and they came back out, and honestly, that second half performance is probably the best I've ever seen a Charlton side play. It was absolutely incredible. Yeah. And yeah, a bit of an injustice that we didn't win. And like Tom said, it could have been about 4-1. But you know, it was, like you said, you'd take a point all day, bearing in mind the numbers that we're missing at the moment, and the amount of people that we've got fit, and the players that Sunderland have as well. So all in all, probably a good result, but I felt a little bit robbed. We probably could have stolen it at the end.
I mean, obviously, because with the team news, we knew that, you know, Reeves was going to be out, so we knew it was going to be Prattley and Albie Morgan in that midfield. Johnny Williams only fit enough to start on the bench, or perhaps maybe not fit enough, but I think Bowyer felt he wasn't quite ready because he'd only literally trained with the lads once. Solly come back in for Stevenson wasn't a shock at all at left back. But you know, with the injuries we have, there was a lot of pressure on Albie Morgan yesterday. Mm. We had a fairly long discussion on Thursday about whether we'd pick him or Pratley before remembering that Reeves was out, so we could probably have to play them both. But you know, he was the man that at times was able to actually make us tick in that first half. And when we did start to have a bit of a recovery towards the end of that first period, he was the man that most of the play seemed to be going through.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it after, because obviously I've not really been around much lately. And seeing Albie, you forget that he's 18 years old. He's such a mature player. He's got fantastic vision. He's very calm on the ball. He's calm off the ball. And I think it just speaks volumes again for our academy system. But just the fact that you would probably pick an 18-year-old over a seasoned pro like Darren Pratley. I would, if there was a choice, I wouldn't start Pratley. Mm. I think he's very much more an impact player coming on off the bench. But as you say, like, we didn't really have that choice because of Ben being out. But
it's a bit of a case of needs must with Pratley. And I do think that you can't really play Pratley and Billick in the same team because they're too similar in what they can do. Although I think Billick is obviously probably the better player and can give us more. But in terms of, if Pratley was sat in front of the back four, I don't think I'd have too many problems with that. Mm. But I think when we need someone to get the ball at the feet in the middle of the park, then perhaps he's not quite the man that could do that job, which is why we needed the likes of Albie Morgan in there. Mm. Now, of course, we got off to the worst possible start, Tom. And it all started with Carlin losing the ball up the pitch. Yeah. And that's the danger. I mean, when you lose the ball up the pitch, it's amazing how quickly it can go down the other end. It happened in a women's game today, actually, as well, for Durham's first goal. But, you know, Carlin's lost the ball, and all of a sudden, Anthony's out of position, and that ball's floated over. It's a superb finish. I mean, Bowyer said, what on earth is a right-back doing that far forward? I mean, that's what happens when you have Chris Solly as your right-back. You're not used to it, but yeah. It was a superb finish and the worst possible start.
Yeah, and you're right, it did come from the attack, and obviously we're known for... Or rather, when we do get the ball forward, you see our fullbacks try and get up to the halfway line, which is where Dick Steele was. So the ball was played over him. Pratley had to try and fill in. And actually, having watched the goal back just now, that we defend that quite well because Dick Steele gets back, Pratley holds him up, and they're 2-on-2 over on that side. But then they still manage to get the cross in. And again, from where the camera angle is, you see that right back bombing on. And obviously nobody picks him up because it probably would have been Pratley or Billick, and they were both covering over the far side. So it was just one of them things, really. It wasn't a lapse in concentration or anything. It was just us giving the ball away and getting played into it. But, I mean, all game, or certainly that first half an hour, 35 minutes, those fullbacks were like that all the time. And they kept doubling up on either side. And because of our narrow diamond, it meant that we kept getting overrun down either flank. And it was either Anthony or Chris that were getting exposed. And again, that comes back to the issue of having Pratley in there, because whilst he's a bit of a ball winner in the middle, he's not someone who's able to get out quickly and help out on either side. Tariq doesn't necessarily get back and offer a whole lot of support defensively either, so I think that was our problem. But so obviously we sorted that out after the 35 minutes, but as you say, and you concede that early on against a team that's second or third in the league, you start to wonder how the afternoon's going to go.
Especially when you saw Aidan McGeady a few minutes later dancing past Dick Steele as well. I mean, Bowyer said himself that he made sure he changed something at half time, which is good, actually. It's nice to see a manager who can adapt and who can react, because, I mean, the chances in that first half were... The good chances were all falling in terms. Like, McGeady had that one that went over. I mean, Gooch hit the bar, and then Charlie Wyke had two really good chances to score. He had the sort almost one-on-one where he shanked it wide, the rebound from the one where they hit the bar. And just as you're seeing this, you are wondering how on earth we're going to get a foothold in the game, because we'd hardly seen anything of Carlin or Taylor in that sort of opening half an hour as well.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I just feel like they kept us boxed in and couldn't... Well, you know, we weren't allowed to play our game, and they just looked like they were going to score every single time, and we were probably quite lucky that they weren't as clinical in the first half, and probably quite lucky actually that Josh Madger probably had a bit of a quiet day. I didn't think he did a huge amount yesterday. And Charlie Wyke was someone that obviously did quite well at Bradford last season, but I don't think he's sort of hit the same heights at Sunderland yet, missing sort of two golden opportunities as well. But yeah, again, Bowyer's obviously got them in at half time. Although, we improved a little bit before then, obviously got them in and changed something. And the second half was a completely different story. And it was good to see that the team have got that character to sort of come out and completely reverse the performance.
Because there was, yeah, like I said, there were signs of improvement towards the end of that first period. But when at the start of the second half, you are sort of thinking if we can get an early goal, maybe that would make sure the momentum fully tips in our direction. And I mean, Lyle Taylor, what more can you say about that man that we haven't said all season? But the work on that right hand side, just to keep sort of persisting, because he looked like he was running down a bit of a blind alley, but he kept going. And you put a dangerous ball into the box, and anything can happen. And obviously, Reece James has stuck his foot out. I couldn't actually see who it went in off. No. I was so confused because I thought because it went in so well. Mm. My assumption was that must have been a great finish from someone. Yeah. There's not a single chance player there. So, and such a great time to get that goal because that really set us up for the rest of the second half.
Yeah, I think like obviously we've spoke about. I know you have all spoke about Lyle before, and the last time I was in, I spoke about how. Like I read so much about Lyle, but then until you see him in person, you don't realise what an amazing player he is, and how much like his work rate is phenomenal. Like he's all over the place, he's everywhere, and you could see his frustration. Like there was a couple of times where things weren't quite coming off for him, and he was sort of jumping up and down on the spot and kicking the ground and stuff. But he got man of the match. I know. There's always a debate lately about who deserves man in the match, and we've all struggled to kind of say who we thought ours were because everyone put a shift in. But I think, like as Lewis said about Lyle and Carlin at the up the front, they'd obviously done their homework, and you could see there was like closing them down so quickly. So I admire that, and I'm not shocked that Bowen and Jacko have obviously decided then to change it up a bit. So having that bit of like flexibility in your thinking and adapting to what you need to do to try and get at least a point out of the game, it just shows what they're about, really.
Mm, yeah, when we got into the bar after the game last night as well, there was 10, 12 of us in there, and I don't think any of us picked the same person for man of the match. Mm. It shows how well the team performed. Just after we scored, though, should have been 2-1, shouldn't it, Tom? That cross floated over to the far post. It was Marger who, as we said, actually looked a little bit disinterested. Possibly had his head turned a bit by all that speculation during the week, and he just completely left Prattley unmarked. If I was Jack Ross, I'd have been fuming if that had gone in. But oh, poor Dazza, should have done better there at that far stick.
Yeah, and he's when he came in at the start of the season, I didn't think he was going to be someone that played week in, week out, but I thought he would do a job for us in the same way someone like Andy Hughes did the season we got promoted, when he just come in and shore things up for 10, 15 minutes at the end of games. And he got thrown in, obviously, at Sunderland on the first game of the season when we weren't sure he was fully fit, and actually played really well. I think he's come in for a bit of criticism, rightly so, over the past few weeks, because I think he struggled a little bit, but... And yesterday was no exception, but then he gets in that position and you think, right, this is something that could get you back on the right side of the fans. And there's no real excuse for missing it, to be honest. It's an easy chance for someone who's got that level of experience and quality. And I'm not going to go away and say we should have won, or that I'm disappointed with a point, because I think it's still a good result. But if that goes in, it's potentially a game changer.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see how we would have reacted to have gone ahead at that stage of the game, or how Sunderland reacted, because they just looked really shell-shocked in that entire second half, having been probably, you know, comfortable for the first however long, half an hour or so, and then unable to find a second goal, to then to have been pegged back so early. I don't think Sunderland reacted the way that I thought a team like Sunderland at the top of the table would, really. I thought they would have come back at us, and it weren't really until the last couple of minutes that they did that.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that, you know, we'd be in for a bit of a long afternoon in the end, but when we got the goal back, it honestly, it looked like there was only one team that was going to win it, and that was us. And once we got our foot in the game properly, we were unplayable. And that just shows how hard, you know, Lee Bayer, Johnny Jackson and the guys worked to get us to those performance levels. You know, we've had a really busy festive period. We've had some disappointing results in that time. We're working on a bare bones squad, the players are tired, and they can still turn out performances like that, albeit it was maybe for sort of 60 minutes rather than the entire 90, because we didn't start as well as we'd hoped, but the levels are there, and it shows the ability in our squad. And when you look at the players that we've got to come back, it's sort of, it's only positive. And I was really, really proud of them yesterday.
Now there's one bit, I can't remember exactly what point during the second half it was, so I'm just going to place it right now. That Naby Sarr tackle. On the halfway line.
When
Sunderland were coming over the halfway line, and we're a little bit stretched, and we're just wondering, oh God, what's going to happen here? And not only does he slide in, but the way he keeps possession of the ball on the halfway line and then sets us away on a counter-attack. I mean, that was... one of my favourite tackles I've seen down here at the Valley in a long, long time.
Yeah, please. I mistakenly called him Nabby Star earlier, but actually I think I'm going to stick with that. We've had some discussions about Nabby over the time that he's been with us, and it's amazing to see. And I think it shows a lot about his character, actually, that he's been seen as a Rowland's Island all the way through. He's the only one that's still here. And people saw him as a Rowland signing and a Rowland player, and there was hatred at points for him. And now he's like, I mean, I love him now. I think like a lot of people have said, but he just seems to be growing and growing. And I mean, the header off the line again, like the same, the last home game, like saving us, like heading off the line like that, having that reaction. And he seems like a proper Charlton player.
He's turning into a real cult hero, which is good to see. But I mean, it's the reaction he was getting at the start of his Charlton career was probably quite fair. He was, in terms of performance wise, he wasn't buttering any parsnips, so to say. And he even had that, he had that loan spell out at Red Star in Paris where he just didn't play, and everyone thinking like, we've been sold a dud here. But the way he's come back, and you know, obviously last season got involved, and this season there's been times where, like just now with Piercy out, he's going to be playing a long run of games at centre half, which is a really high pressure position. He's had to fill in at left back at times as well, and there's mistakes in him for sure, but he's really playing with his heart on his sleeve, and he's showing at times little turns of quality as well, and that's why he's really caught the imagination of the Charlton fans recently.
I think it's that combination of the quality that you can see he's got, and also that he's become more solid. And I think when he came in, like Sue says, he kind of embodied everything that Rowland seemed to be doing. He was foreign. He came with a big reputation because he played in the Champions League once, but was actually shocking. He supposedly came in for big money. He obviously became the butt of a joke within a song as well, which I don't think helped, and his performances weren't very good. Some of that obviously his fault, the performances on the pitch, some of it not his fault, the money that he came in for and his previous experience. But yeah, he had to overcome all that, and he's still quite a young man, and to do that, I think he deserves so much credit, and probably Boya and possibly Carl as well, because I know his man management was obviously pretty good. I think they deserve credit for the way they've kind of built his confidence back up. And as I say, he always seemed to have that little glimpse of quality, but because of his confidence, he'd actually turn it into a mistake when he tried to take it round someone, whereas now he just seems so much more happy and assured on a ball, kind of more like Bielik. And I'm sure that's down to Boya and Jacko giving him that confidence to play and that freedom. And you combine that with those, you know, that last-ditch tackle, the header off the line, and the fact that he's alongside Bauer, who's obviously grown in a Charlton shirt over the past few years as well. And I think we were all worried when Pierce got that injury, and especially when he's going to be out for a while. And actually, Sarr's done pretty well.
There was another one. There was a moment down the left-hand side in front of us, in front of the West End, where he sort of dribbled out with it, and I had my eyes again. But he did it just fine. Now, 20 minutes left to go. Lee Boya unleashes his new weapon. Johnny Williams, obviously, has joined us from Palace. First thing he does is roll the ball straight out of play. You're thinking, oh no, another Palace agent, just like Kaikar. But I mean, you know, jokes aside, we know that he is... I mean, you could see from his cameo yesterday, there's a little bit of class. Johnny Esther, the Palace fans used to call him. And you can see... Well, I mean, that's quite sad. But you can see why, can't you?
You can. You know, I was... when I saw the signing come through, in terms of a League One signing, it's fantastic because he's a very good player. He's someone who's been riddled with injury, very unfortunately as well. You know, that fits us, doesn't it, with injury-prone players. But... He's come in. He's obviously realised that he's not going to get the game time at Crystal Palace, and he's dropped down a couple of divisions to maybe try and rebuild his career with a point to prove. And from everything that I've seen of him so far, not only on the pitch but his interviews and stuff, he seems like a young man who's got his head screwed on. He just wants to play football. A really nice guy as well. And yesterday when he came on, I was really, really impressed. He looked, you know, fast going forward. He wasn't afraid to go at the Sunderland defenders and make things happen. Obviously, he rolled the ball out at the start, which was hilarious. but after that, there was a couple of things where he'd push forward. He won a couple of free kicks as well. I think every time he goes down, I think we're all going to be a bit nervous though every time someone tackles him. But apart from that, you know, a great addition to the squad, and I hope it really works out for him because he's someone that, you know, he's only young and his career has been riddled with injury and he's not been able to play the football that he could have. And it'd be nice for him to come in and sort of re-kick his career. And if it benefits Charlton, then all the better.
Now, that last 20 minutes, I could feel my heart pumping in my chest because I was genuinely certain that we were going to we were going to get the second goal because we started having these chances. The first one for Lyle Taylor, we found that space in the air and the goalkeeper, McLaughlin, actually made a really good save with his legs. And then it's just agonising chances. The one where the ball deflected up to Kylan Grant at a far stick. And at the time, I thought that's probably quite a difficult chance. Watching it back, I genuinely think he probably should have scored that, actually. And not long after that, very similar chance that the keeper made a save. You're just seeing all these ones coming in. You're just thinking it's got to happen soon, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I think one when obviously the Prattley chance and the Kylan chance didn't go in, I thought, I don't think we're going to get one. It was one of them, like, if them two ain't going in, nothing is. So I kind of had resigned myself to a point, but I'd already sort of said prior to the game I would take a point because Sunderland are just a massive club. Mm. They're set up to be a Premier League club, and it just felt like such a big occasion, and to come away with a point, I was buzzing last night. I was so happy, but I think it felt like we had our Charlton back yesterday. The crowd, everyone, like there was just like this real positive energy within the ground.
I think obviously with the takeover rumours that have been going about, which we'll talk about later on, but everything just felt like it was sort of falling into place yesterday. If we'd found a winner, I think the ground would have taken off with the noise as well. And we had that. I mean, Johnny Esther set up that great chance right at the end for Cardin. It was well blocked, but then they went down the other end. And if Watmore had stuck that in, I would have quit. I mean, that would be me done, because that would have been one of the most horrendous Charlton feelings for a long time if they'd nicked that at the end. Because overall, I mean, they turned it on last 5 minutes. If they'd played like that for the whole of the second half, I think it would have been a difficult game. But obviously, we didn't allow them to. But, you know, we saw the quality they had in the first half and they turned it on for the last 5 minutes. And, you know, overall, I think a draw is probably the fair result because they did control the first half. But I mean, it would have been just amazing if that one from Kylan Grant had gone, especially would have been our new signing setting it up as well.
Yeah, but I think you're right. Firstly, that we didn't let them turn it on until that last 5 minutes, and I think we deserve credit for that because, yes, they've got that quality, but we stopped them playing. And secondly, from about 80 minutes onwards, we'd had so many chances and missed them, I just resigned to the fact they were going to score. And I could picture that away and bouncing. I knew the sick feeling I was going to have in my stomach, and I just accepted it. And then they got played through, and it was like, here we go. But we managed to hold on. And like you say, I think I'd have taken a point before the game happily. It keeps us in the running, which is the most important thing. We move on, and we've played them home and away. And I think we were unlucky, or you could argue possibly, we could have easily taken 6 points from those two games. And when you look at that, against a team who, okay, didn't perform well, but were in the Championship last year, and you look at some of the quality they've got in that side, I think it shows we're up there. And this is, what, 4 or 5 months on from that first game of the season, and we're still competing with teams like that. So, you know, it's not just a fluke anymore. We're really up there for a reason.
And if we're being honest, I thought it was a fluke on the opening day of the season. When we had those injuries and we had that small squad, we played really well. I thought it was like a plucky Charlton performance
100%.
From a team that's going to finish lower mid table, if not get relegated with the size of the squad we had. But we've kept it going every week, and it's been a real joy to watch so far this season. And massive credit has to go to the man we're about to hear from now, Lee Bowyer. Came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's game. Don't forget, you can have your say about yesterday's performance. Loads of you already have, and I'm looking forward to reading them out. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum and have your say about yesterday's game. Lee Bowyer came in to speak to Terry after the game yesterday. This is what he had to say.
Obviously, I was disappointed at half time because obviously they scored a great goal. I don't know what the fella was doing up there anyway. That was their right back that scored. But we tried to play through them first half and they just made it difficult. They played very narrow, the gaps were very small for us to play through. And so then obviously half time we had to come up with another way of playing through them. Sometimes it can't always go along the floor. It just might be a case of drawing a midfielder in and then lifting it over him into the striker. And I thought we mixed it very well second half. I thought that when it was on to play, we played. And when it was on to just drop it into the front two, we dropped it in. And and we got down the size of them at times. And but yeah, overall, I think I'm delighted with the way we played, the way we responded after half time, and the chances we created. I'm disappointed at the same time because I think we deserve to win, and the lads give me everything, you know, and I'm so proud of them. And sometimes it just hurts me a little bit because they leave everything out there for me, and I ask them to do that every game, and they do it every game, and it just hurts me that they don't get rewarded for what they're doing, you know. And today was one of them. I thought they deserved the 3 points. I thought we worked hard at possession, and we created a lot of good chances, especially second half.
As you said, it was the game became more difficult for us in that first half after the early goal, and we struggled to break them down. But I thought there were signs towards the end of that first half. Even we had Abby Morgan's shot that was blocked away, that lifted the crowd, seemed to lift the players as well. So there were signs at the end of that first half that we could get at them.
Yeah, last 10 minutes of the first half, I thought again we dominated it. We was dominating it. Yeah, we had to be patient, and I know it's tough for the crowd to see us pass backwards sometimes, but we don't have the players to just whack it long. So we have to try and play for them, or what we've done in the second half, we try and drag them out a little bit, and then I'll just lift it into the front men so that at least they can hold it up. And like I said, we worked it both ways very well. We passed it through them when we could, and then because then we can lift it into them, then the centre halves drop a bit deeper because they're a bit worried, or you put it down the side, they drop deeper again. So I thought we deserved to win, you know. It's hard, and the crowd, like, it just felt the atmosphere, everything about today. I was so looking forward to this all week, since Tuesday. And it didn't disappoint me. I thought it was two good teams that are pushing for promotion, and you see that today, and two good sets of fans that were just didn't stop singing the whole game, you know. And it was great to see so many people here today, like our fans behind the goal, up the sides. It was great to see, in the atmosphere you could tell, and I think the lads enjoyed it as well, because obviously they run around and they're like what would you call them, they're like entertainers, aren't they? Players are entertainers, and they want, the bigger the crowd the better. And yeah, I think they enjoyed today as well.
And you think the players, you know, when they see the valley, not full, but still rocking in the way it was today, just a hint of what could be possible if we can achieve what everybody's after, of course, and promotion. It's something that would happen on a regular basis.
Yeah, and that's what we're working hard for every day in training. We're working hard to get that goal. Everybody wants a goal. Every fan, every player that's in the building, we all want that. We all want that goal, and every member of staff. There's a lot of things that go on behind closed doors that no one really sees, and people working really hard, and they don't get the recognition, you know. But we're all in this together, and I've said that from day one. We have to all stick together and work hard, and fans are part of that, you know. And when they're clapping lads off, and the end of the game, and they're all singing, and it's great to see.
As with Tuesday, you remember to put players in that normally you probably wouldn't be. Albie Morgan, case in point. But after a little maybe struggling to get in the game, like most of the side in the first half hour, he grew into it superbly. You must be delighted for somebody like Albie Morgan, the way he's playing.
Yeah, but I've seen that pre-season. I see him, he came away, it was pre-season, and he improved and improved and improved. He has the ability. He just has to work hard. Keep working hard. He's only young. What is he, 18? Young lad. Keep working hard. You're not going to play every game. It's a fact. But then when you do get called in, then you play well, and you give everything. And that's what he's done the last two games. If he didn't do that Tuesday, then he wouldn't play today. But he did do it Tuesday, and he's done it again today. Today, the only thing I would say, the only thing which I just said to him after the game, walking around the pitch, that should have got his shots off. He's got a good shot. He's got a great shot on him. To get his shots off, if you get a chance, you just never know. He'd done it in the first half. It was a good block. But he had two or three occasions in the second half he could have got his shots off. But you can tell he's a good player, but he has to keep working hard and learning. There's a lot of our players. They're learning. You know? Carlin's the same. Carlin's, what's he, 19? 20, 21, 22? We've got so many youngsters with us. And Karen's the same. He's a good player, yeah. Is he learning? Yeah. Is he, you can tell he's learning. Is, how much he's improved in this short space of time since pre-season with us. So, yeah.
And Anthony on the right, well, no, he's been in the game with up against Aidan McGeady, probably one of the better left wingers in the division, if not even the Championship as well. He'll have learned a lot from that, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, because he's definitely the best winger in the league. He's a Premier League player, isn't he? Like, when was he at Everton? Last season, was he? Or the season before? I remember seeing him playing on telly not long ago for Everton. So, yeah, no, he's an exceptional player. Every time he got it, I was worried, I ain't going to lie. He can go both ways. He's got end product. His shooting was a bit off today. But, no, you can tell he's too good for this league, if I'm honest.
After weathering that storm in the first half hour and then getting back in the game in the first half, and then the second half, which is, you know, up there with one of the best performances I've seen for a while from a Charlton side. I mean, that must give you a huge lift. I mean, Williams coming in looked comfortable on the ball again. That's a plus for us. We've got the players we've got coming back. It can only bode well.
Yeah, and like for me to see what the lads are doing with no rest, no break. We've been Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday. Like I don't know how many times we've had no days off. And they keep putting and grafting and putting a shift in, and we haven't had the players to be able to rotate it either. And the poor lads, they've just, like some of them, Christian, like, it just looked like he's going to die sometimes. I'm thinking, wow, like, he looks like he might even pass that, you know? And this is what they're doing. They're putting their bodies on the line for me every time, and I can't help them by rotating, But now we've got Saturday, and we're going to have rest and we're going to start getting players back. And when we do, we've been on great runs with a limited squad because of injuries. And once we start getting them back, I think we're going, I honestly believe we're going a very, very good run and just see if we can push ourselves into that top two. That's the aim. That's what we're trying to do.
Are you going to still try to add to that squad in the coming month?
Yeah. We'd look to bring maybe a couple more in. That's what we're looking to do.
Can I ask you this question? And you'd have been asked this, I'm sure, around it, but I'm going to slightly ask it in a different way, if you don't mind. The whole rumours of takeovers abound around the club, and the fans are clearly on edge and wanting to happen. From a personal perspective and from a management perspective, would it be slightly more of a disruption to you, changing it as it is now? You know, when you've got players coming, you've got targets to come in, potentially. Got players coming back. Would it be more of a, I wouldn't say hindrance is probably not the right word, but are you quite happy with the status quo going forward over the next 8 months, or would it be a plus?
No, I'm obviously I'm happy with the way things are going. Like the owner's in charge now, Rolon. He asked me what players are, like what I needed player wise in the summer, and whoever I've asked for, we've got. And same there, like Johnny's just come in, you know. Johnny's a good player, and yeah, okay, I'm working to a budget, and yeah, things got cut a bit in the summer. So instead of having this for a player, it's gone to this. But that's all irrelevant. At the end of the day, every team works to a budget, and we're no different. And if the new people come in, then they might give us a bigger budget. I don't know. They could come in and give us a smaller one. I honestly don't know. So. At the moment, I'm happy, and I like to think the owner now, Roland, is happy with the way things are going. We haven't had much luck, but if someone does come in and they give us more money, then we'll spend it wisely, and we'll improve the squad only to players that are going to make us better. And we're doing that already with the smaller budget. So would I like a bigger one? Of course, every manager would like a bigger budget, but I'm happy with the way things are going at the moment. We're in a good position in the league. Our fans are enjoying our football. The club, in my eyes, looking from the outskirts, is coming back together. I think we're in a good place. The players are in a good place. I'm happy. So I think everybody's happy at the moment. So I've always had this motto, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I understand if the takeover does happen, then it happens, and then you cross that bridge when you come to it. But at the moment, I've not heard anything. I hear that, oh, maybe Monday, Tuesday, like rumours that everyone's chucking around the place, but until it actually happens, I'm not going to get caught up in all that, because I thought I only had three games in charge in March last year. Yeah. And I'm still here nearly a year later, so...
And doing a superb job with the team behind you, with the players we've got to hand, and the spirit and determination was clear for everybody to see, especially in that second half. And on to Shrewsbury, talking about bodies back, are we going to have, I know I ask you this every week, but likelihood of bodies back as incoming?
Maybe George Lapsley. Mm-hmm. I think they was doing tests with him the other day and he was okay, so... maybe George Lapsley will be back. Other than that, not off the top of my head, I think apart from him, the next one will be Josh Cullen, who's running there. He's joining in training, but non-contact. So maybe 2 weeks with him, 2-3 weeks, we get Josh Cullen back. I think he's the next one in line. And obviously whoever we bring in the window there. So which is going to be, we look to bring a couple in, so.
Well, what the performance levels we've shown today, and not just today, over the last few months with the bodies that we were having to put in, must give us great confidence going forward to place a lot of Shrewsbury. If we can do the same thing again, then you must be at least desperate to keep the run going, to get points on the board. Because you go to place a lot of Shrewsbury and everybody's expecting us maybe to do better there than they would have done against Sunderland.
Yeah, and that's football. Everybody expects you to win here, win there, but maybe not here and maybe not there, and football just isn't predictable. Otherwise, everyone would know how to win. What I would say is that we'll go there, we'll be ready. We've got a full week now to recover. The lads will have a couple of days off now to recover and try and let all the bruises and everything settle down from the last crazy couple of weeks, so and then we'll be ready Saturday. I have no doubt that we'll be ready, and now we know that this is the time of year that you have to be good and you have to put wins together. I know that.
Charlton have hit the crossbar twice in the space of 2 minutes. Well, space of a minute, actually. Cullen again with
Arriba,
the corner.
I think.
Was it Arriba?
I think so, yeah.
Ball into the box again. Again, it's a tight one. Again, it drops this time. It drops to Solly. And there! Chris Solly has equalised!
Get in there!
And Charlton are back on level terms. The dropping ball struck by Chris Solly. Buried into the right-hand side of the keeper. And Charlton are back on level terms.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You are listening to Elton Live. That was Lee Bowyer speaking to Terry Smith after yesterday's game here at the Valley with Sunderland. What a game it was. Lee Bowyer, clearly, I don't know, he sort of said he's in the middle, really. He's pleased with the way his side reacted to having been a goal down and came back in that second half. But you could tell he was quite a little bit frustrated that we didn't go on and get that winner.
I think he's feeling the same as us. It probably would have, actually, no, knowing him, he probably wouldn't have taken a point before the game. But the way the game goes and you concede that early goal, you think, right, let's get back into it. And then at the end, you look back at the chances we've had and you think, actually, there was a real chance there to get 3 points. And especially so soon after the game when he has to come in and do his interviews, I'm sure that's what he's feeling. But I reckon when he looks back at it today, he probably thinks, do you know what, that's a good point to build on going into the next few weeks. So, yeah, I completely understand why he's perhaps a little bit frustrated. But, yeah, as I say, the point was still a good one.
We had a tweet in from Valley Voice who said, breaking news, Lee Bowyer's pants have been stolen from Black Fen Laundrette. Eyes peeled, lads. Now, that's in relation to a tweet that Danny Owen sent last night and it had me rolling on the floor. Last night, he said, I'm going to admit now, my respect for Bowyer grows every week. If I knew where he lived, I would sneak into his back garden and steal a pair of his underpants off his washing line as a keepsake.
And get Glove Pup on that one.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It's true.
I think someone put him in touch with him, didn't he?
Yeah, I know. I tweeted Glove Pup because I know he lives near Lee Bowyer, so we'll get a pair of pants for Danny. He did tweet TJ Leeburn as well, and she said that she would not get him a pair of signed pants. But there we go. Right, we got loads of correspondence about yesterday's game. You can still have your say as well. You can email us, studio at charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum and have your say. Just before we do that, I really enjoyed the No Noise from the Netflix Boys song. Netflix Boys song yesterday. I mean, Sue mentioned they're a massive club, and obviously they've got their own documentary. The BBC Newcastle commentator who sat next to me, obviously covers Sunderland, that area, he actually had a GoPro camera facing at him purely for this documentary, and every 5 minutes I was leaning in. So every time there was a goal, I was just in there, just making sure they could just see me. So keep your eyes peeled for me on Netflix. I'd sign an autograph if you want. Right, let's have a look at some of the messages that started coming in yesterday. Cliff Scales said, a fantastic game of football fought. Second half, we battered them, but overall a draw was probably a fair result. And what an atmosphere at the Valley. It was brilliant to see the place like that again. The place was rocking. I mean, so if this takeover does go through in this next week, which whether it will or not, we'll find out. I mean, everyone's ready to come back and to start making that atmosphere a weekly thing now, aren't they?
I've got friends that haven't stayed away, and I've got friends that have stayed away. Obviously, I've stayed away somewhat. But I think once that's a done deal, I mean, I think, is it the Accrington game? We've got Kids for a Quid, and that's potentially the first game following the alleged takeover. Yeah. And I just think it's going to be amazing down here. That first game, once it's done, is just going to be like one big party.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see whether it is done. There wasn't much chatter around the people in the building yesterday suggesting it'll be done within the next couple of days. But at the same time, a lot of this stuff just happens very high end, so most people won't know, even within the clubs. And obviously, Jim Wyatt wouldn't have put his reputation on the line without having a fairly confident idea about it.
I think, in fairness as well, when there was some stuff coming out last year, that the club clamped down on the information that was being given, because I know there were some meetings with staff and stuff was getting leaked out all over the place, and I think that's possibly why now they've not come out with anything, because they just want it to not get leaked. I mean, people are going to say stuff anyway, aren't they? But I think because there was some information that came out that was actually quite important that it didn't. I think the club kind of clamped down on that after, in terms of sharing information with the staff.
So it all remains to be seen. Like we say, you know, the chatter's out there. It's been out there before, as we know, but you know, it's much more public with the likes of Jim Wyatt. You know, he's really put himself on the line there, and you know, no journalist enjoys being wrong. Luckily, that never happens to me. But fingers crossed, we'll see. But we won't spend too much time on it this evening because I don't want to jinx it, really. F. James, good evening. Yesterday showed just how resilient and together we are as a team. Poor, wasteful in the first half and very frustrating to watch. But how a half-time team talk works. Enough said. Still believe we'll be top two. What I did see yesterday was a more unified Valley. We need to do all we can as a collective band. Even the drummer sounded more excited. If we are going to have new owners, it's game, set and match. Say no more. If it's not, then we can still be there. for the lads. Dave, I hope you enjoyed your day yesterday, and your son as well, who I know was watching, is actually a Sunderland fan. They actually got to see him for the first time, so I hope they both enjoyed it. Alex Rogans was at the game yesterday. Williams looks an exciting player. Quick feet, runs defenders, and I'm sure he will chip in with a few goals and assists. Exciting times ahead at Charlton. I mean, with Johnny Williams, the only problem, of course, is going to be injuries. And now, you know, I mean, someone told me yesterday, apparently last year what he had was more of a dislocated shoulder. So that's a bit of a freak injury. That's not the sort of one that will reoccur too much, hopefully. Yeah,
it's not something he's going to get here, is it? You know, we're the club that get two dislocated shoulders in one game.
Yeah, that's unlikely to happen twice, though. Both of his arms will go at once. I mean, like, really impressive with what we saw yesterday from him, Lewis.
Yeah, really, really impressed. And like Alex has said there, I think he's going to be a really good addition to the squad. An exciting and young player who's got a point to prove. So he's going to come in. There's no expectation on him at all. So it's nice for him to come in and just play with a bit of freedom and hopefully, like Alex has said there, chip in with some goals, some assists, and help us push towards the top two, which would be amazing.
I didn't realise he was so young, actually, until I was looking him up for yesterday. He's only 24, 25. Because he'd been around for Palace for quite a long time. So I assumed he was a little bit older. But no, he's clearly... He's got a lot of points to prove, really. And if he can stay fit, then, you know, a touch of quality. Whether, you know, it's only a 6-month contract. He's playing for a new contract somewhere, whether it's with us or not. But you need to have the performances on the pitch to do that. Simon Holland said he played well after his first pass that went astray, which was why he didn't start, as he doesn't know the team. He achieved more in 22 minutes than Kai Kai did in 14 matches. Looks like a great addition to the squad. Jimmy Seed said that Johnny Esther recovered well from his comedy first touch, which went out of play. He said, "I like the fact that he laughed when it did." I didn't see that, but that's good as well. It shows the confidence of him. He says he is someone who can carry the ball forward with the likelihood of an end result, just what we need. And when we saw that, Tom, when that pass through he laid on for Carlin towards the end, won a couple of free kicks. Won one free kick where I think he actually got taken out by Tariq Fossu.
He definitely got taken out by Tariq Fossu.
He's clearly got that in his locker. He can conjure up free kicks from nothing. But very encouraging what we've seen so far.
Yeah, and I said it on Thursday's show. I've always liked him ever since I saw him in the Euros. I think he definitely can offer us something. The only thing, really, that he's got counting against him is his injury record. But until he gets injured, if that happens, I think we've got such a good player there. And like you say, that first pass aside, I thought yesterday he looked dangerous. He's got a good bit of pace on him. He can spot a pass. And obviously with Jamie Ward going back, I don't think there's anything that Ward could do that Johnny Williams can't, really. And he's kind of a blend between that and Reeves. And honestly, I really think there's a good player there. I think he should be playing way above this level. I think it's just his injuries that have forced him to come down here. But if he has a good 6 months or, you know, till the end of the season, I'd like to think if we get promoted that we'd be able to try and keep him in for a bit longer. But obviously that'll be dependent on a couple of things. But I was really impressed with him yesterday.
Dr. Lazarus has given us a three-word review of Johnny Williams' performance yesterday. He said, good but bald. And I don't know if we can hold that against him, really. If anything, it makes sense.
I think that's a new haircut as well, because he had hair when I saw him.
Yeah, I don't know if you can describe that as a haircut.
He does have a very unfortunate hairline. Yeah. I mean, Johnny Williams is he's a bit of a Ben Reeves. Yeah.
It makes him more aerodynamic as well, which will help him glide through the midfield. Cliff said he looks like a cracking player, runs forward with the ball, just what we need. Will only get better once he's settled in and played games. Right, Charlton Exile on the performance yesterday. What a day, what a final 60 minutes. This is what a Roland Free Valley can be like. Let's hope this time the sale is for real. Everything crossed for positive news next week. Steve Henry, he makes forward runs on Williams again. We really need this to link with the front men better. As for his first pass, I think he was looking to pass into space to an overlapping fullback who wasn't there. I saw Ivan Campo do the same at Ipswich in his first game, used to playing at a higher level. It could be, it might just not be on the same wavelength as anyone else, which is...
Yeah, I think it was Solé. I think he was expecting Solé to run, and I think, obviously, as we saw, Johnny Spade... Solly weren't quite there, so I don't think we can completely blame him for that.
I think we're focusing too much on that first pass, if anything. It was funny, but yeah. No.
Oh, why did we get him in?
I remember it being the same when Coquelin came in. He was sort of a class above, wasn't he, when we were in the Championship. And he sort of had the, you know, passes that little bit quicker, and there was a few times it sort of skewed off a couple of our players' toes.
I'm told my favourite story for a couple of years now about when obviously Coquelin, after he left us, was like playing in the Arsenal midfield and absolutely bossing it in the Premier League. And I remember after his first game at Charlton, asking him if he thought he could break into Charlton's first team. Darren Ellis says, with players that we had available and conceding an early goal, I thought this was going to be a long 90 minutes. Second half, the lads did us proud. Boya and Jackson are working wonders. And I agree with that. Soapy Finger says,
what?
Great, no idea. Great match.
Explain the name.
Well, that's one hell of actually, a profile picture as well, actually.
I don't want to see it.
Great match. Great match. They played very high and stopped us playing our normal build-up game. Needed to switch it around a bit with a longer ball as we did in the second half. Shame we did not do that earlier in the first half, says the crowd were great. Soapy Finger adds, love Boya. Great game. They played very high and stopped us playing a normal game when we started to mix it up. He said he also agreed that Morgan was the best player in the first half. Soapy Finger then says, good to hear Boya talking top two, but think that's out of our reach with our squad and other teams with games in hand. Mm. Never know, though. He never makes excuses. Love that. Now, I mean, I've always said I think top two would be out of our reach, but Boya's never changed his tune about that being our aim. And when we have played other top two potential teams, and we've gone down Pompey and we've beaten them, Sunderland, we've matched for both games and we're unlucky not to get at least one win against us this season. So head to head, I mean, I think, you know, we can show that on our day we're as good as those teams. It's just whether we can, with our squads that's so small and so injury prone, unfortunately, whether we can go toe to toe over the course of a season.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I think we've said this a few times on the show over the season, that there haven't been, I mean, I personally haven't seen a team outplay us for an entire 90 minutes where we've looked completely uncomfortable. I know up at Barnsley, maybe it was a little bit of a different story. I know we struggled up there in the first half. Tom would be better for that one because he actually went to the game. But we've shown that we can compete for the top two. I think the gap potentially maybe a little bit too much now, and also the games in and around us, the teams there have all got a couple of games in hand. So that can be a bit of a disadvantage on our part. But we're up there and fighting, you know, and Lee Bowyer's, he said it last season when we were sitting, you know, weren't sitting too healthy. He said, we'll make the playoffs, we'll make the top six. And he pulled it out of the bag. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, we're all keeping our fingers crossed that we make the top two because we haven't got to go through the lottery of the playoffs. But I think maybe we're just that little bit too far out.
Mm. The important thing about if we do get in the playoffs this year is I think last year we played Shrewsbury at home and we were completely outclassed. When we played them away, we caught them when they were on a really bad bit of form. And we did go there and beat them. But it was quite clear when Shrewsbury were playing well that we couldn't keep with them, you know, here at the Valley, in the playoffs as well. Whereas I think the teams that we are likely to end up facing if we do end up in the playoffs, there's not one of them that's outplayed us this season for longer than a half at a time. Barnsley in the first half, for example. So that, for me, gives me more confidence this year if we were to end up in the playoffs that we could actually go toe-to-toe with one of our rivals.
Yeah, I think historically we've always been one of those teams that haven't played as well against maybe teams that we should be battering, and then we've raised our games for the teams that are like up there. And I think, obviously, with Portsmouth and Luton really haven't had a dodgy blip yet. Yeah, you've got games in hand, but you've got to win them. And if these teams are going on cup runs, they've got that distraction. They've got the potential for getting bum the cup out. But you've got the worries of injuries, all of those sorts of things that come along with a good cup run. And then you've got the sort of face the Saturday Tuesday fun that a lot of teams actually can't manage. So I'm still of the mind that we could get into that top two, but as you all know, I'm very rose tinted. But I don't think it's out of our reach at all.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to help us as well, but as it stands, I don't think we've got any more Tuesday night away games. I think we've got a couple at home, but unless I've forgotten to book a hotel somewhere, I'm fairly confident we don't, unless there's going to be rearrangements for FA Cup teams we're facing. But that could help us as well as we keep on going. Right, John Agambar says that John Williams looks a player. What's his name? Johnny Williams looks a player. And then he asks, is Josh Cullen still on loan? Yeah, he's still here. He was commentating actually with the lads yesterday. Unfortunately, the recording was really poor yesterday, so I missed fair bits of it. So we didn't really get any of their bits, but he is still here. He is still involved, so hopefully as the season goes on. He can come back and disadd us. I mean, it'd be another one in the middle of that park. Even if Billick's playing defensive midfield, I mean, that'll give him a little bit more chance to go forward. But we'll see. Right, Mark says, Boya's pants. He says that guessing that Tom has a pair of Ulverstads under crackers somewhere.
Several.
I believe you. Paul Glover said he enjoyed listening to the lads on commentary yesterday. Sounded like a great atmosphere. Jacko and Lee Boya both came across well on the Quest EFL show. Worth a watch. I didn't realise Jacko was on it.
Yeah, they at the beginning of the show.
We missed the first 5 minutes.
They were talking to Jacko. It was Colin and who was the guy? Michael Brown. Jacko was talking for quite a bit actually. That was actually before they showed the highlights, and then it went to Bo and their manager after. So
John Agenbar also tweeted in yesterday saying that was a proper football match, proved we can compete with anyone in that league. First half was too much like the Wigan game last year, but once we got going, it was great. Well, let's have a little quick break here on Charlton Life. We've still got loads of emails to talk about. We're still going to hear some reaction from the women's team game from earlier today as well. We'll be back here in 30 seconds.
And the ball now on the Charlton left to Ferrier. Infield it comes, but that's a loose ball and Fosu can pick it up again for Charlton. Grant's on a run, trying into the box. Colin Grant!
Oh, great finish!
It's a lovely goal!
Come
Tariq
on!
Tariq Fosu's pinpoint pass found Colin Grant into the penalty area, and he slid the ball through the legs of Liam Roberts to give Charlton the opening goal.
Tugs all over the place.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Yeah, we're still looking back at yesterday's superb performance in the 1-1 draw with Sunderland here at the Valley. Really good game. Clay's just tweeted in, said, I think Fosu is massively overrated. I'd rather start Morgan when we have a fully fit squad. Discuss, Tom.
Clayman. No, yeah. Sorry, I'm not Tom. Go on.
You'll get your turn, like me, but
yeah, I'm not having that. I think
He ain't been the same this season, if we're being honest, but he's shown improvement as we've come over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and yesterday, actually, I was saying to a few people at half-time I might have taken him off, but I think he's still got that moment of quality in him. We haven't seen it a huge amount this season, but I don't think really he was going to have the season he did last year. If I'm being completely honest. And on the other hand, I have been very impressed with Morgan, but he's still so young and you just don't want to have to play him week in, week out.
You don't want to burn him out.
We've done
to young players before.
Yeah, he deserves everything he's getting in terms of playing time for sure, but Fosu is still a star in this side for me. And when you look at the, six or seven midfielders we've got when they're all fit, it's a midfield that's definitely deserved to be up at the top of the table where it is. So then he'll have to fight for his place a little bit more and maybe we'll see that quality. But he's not been brilliant, but he's still a good player.
There's moments where he's been frustrating this season, where he's just lost possession trying to do too much. But he's trying to get back to the level where he was last year, which is why possibly maybe he's trying too hard at times, maybe.
I think with Tariq, he's one of these kind of... He's not the sort of person that you'd think you'd... Yeah, he's very unassuming. He's very down to earth. He's a sweet boy, and I think he's still very young. And I think the injury that he had took a lot out of him mentally, and I think he's still kind of coming back from that. And that I think he's a fantastic player, and he can be so dangerous when he's on his game. He's frightening, and I think that's coming back from what I've. Obviously, I missed a big chunk of the season, but
just like him,
from what I'm seeing more recently, it looks like he's coming back to the player that we know he can be, and I wouldn't write him off. And I think competition for places, like you say, he's got Albie on his back, that might make him raise his game, and then you've got the players that will come back from injury as well. So I think Bo's going to have some really tough decisions to make at some point.
I'm looking forward to that as well, because you think, like, the two players that were up doing the comms with Tell was Pagey and Cullen. Those two just on their own, them coming back in
made
yesterday.
Made such a difference.
Albert Rossi says, Lou, I think if we do get in the playoffs this time, I think we have got goals in us. Last time we did not score a goal in two games. I mean, yeah, we've certainly got goals in us. It's a weird stat I noticed the other day, and it's probably irrelevant to what Albert's just said, actually, but we haven't won any games 1-0 this season. Every game we've won, we've scored at least twice, which I don't really know what that means, but it's a stat out there. I mean, it'd be nice to get a 1-0 gritty away win next week. We could take more, but obviously rather like a 4 or 5. But anyway, let's carry on with the messages that's come in. Phil says, hi guys, what a fantastic atmosphere and an amazing game. My son bought some workmates who support Stoke, Southampton and Roma, and we sat them in the that must have been a culture shock. We sat them in the upper north and they loved it. Thought Taylor and Saar were different class today. Williams is going to be a fan's favourite. Looks an upgrade on Reeves for sure. Now we just need the takeover to happen, although I feel Jim White has jumped the gun. And that's from Phil in Elton. We'll see. It's always risky when you put a time frame on it, as we know, but I mean, if something's in the pipeline, it might not happen within the next 2 days. It might happen within the next month, but you never know. I'm not putting a time. That's not me saying it's definitely happening in the next month, by the way. That's just like, these things can take time. Hopefully it's next week, but we've been here before. Right. Charlton Soul, when you consider we are pushing a team that will achieve automatic promotion to the very edge with a makeshift side, how can anyone say we are not top two contenders? We are the dark horse in this league. Nobody is talking about us. The perfect position. If the takeover comes through, we will be unstoppable. I mean, so I'll put it out there. If the takeover happens Monday, Tuesday, what happens next? Are we now? I mean, no one really knows. Are we now money bags? Are we going to sign Messi? I mean, are we all of a sudden going to? Is Bayer all of a sudden going to be allowed to go and spend £1 million on a couple of decent players? I mean, we don't know. That's why even when the takeover does happen, when it eventually happens, it doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden everything's going to turn to gold.
No, absolutely not. And I think all people want from the takeover is support for Jacko and Bayer. You know, to bring some people in January, not just loans. You know, we've had it this season. We've learnt the hard way with Jed Steer, where he's been recalled, and we're short on a goalkeeper now. I mean, the positive there is Dylan's getting his opportunity, but when you look towards the bench, we're not really looking too strong in the goalkeeping department. We haven't had a natural left-back to come in for Pagey, play Naby out there, but then he's been dragged into the middle now. So it's more the funding for the squad, you know, get the numbers in, to help push for the business end of the season. But I think the main thing is that people are just so exhausted by the whole regime and the whole stint that we've had with him over the last 5 years, that people just want it to happen for themselves, really. And you know, we all want it to happen, and if it can make the Valley like it was yesterday, that can be the 12th man in this business end of the season.
It just holds us back in almost passive aggressively now. That, you know, it was headline making stuff at the start when Paoli was sacked, when the best players were sold, when the standard Liège rejects came over. That was headline grabbing stuff. Now it's just low budgets and no support and stuff like that. I mean, it's holding us back quietly now, but it is still holding us back. Right, Paul Glover says, we have scored in every game except for three. Sunderland have scored in every game this season. He says, that's a Jacko fact before the game, and it remains true. Well, I'm guessing Jacko must have read my Twitter, because I tweeted that yesterday.
No, we actually talked about it in the week after the 1st of January.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing stat for Sunderland, obviously, that they've scored in every game. But like I say, us only not scoring in three is impressive as well. Right, we also had a message that came in from Robert Higgs. Evening, gents and ladies. Just wanted to put my thoughts on yesterday's game. Would have taken a draw before the game, but left the Valley a bit gutted that we couldn't grab all 3 points. Thought that considering the injuries we have, that Bowes is getting wonders out of this team. Can you imagine if our full-strength side was out there yesterday? A couple of negatives were Prattley, who I believe, unfortunately, can't cut it at this level, and Fosu has so much potential but finds it impossible to pass the ball at times, i.e. holds it onto it for too long, tries to beat one too many players. Apart from all that, Apart from that, all positive. Thought Albie Morgan looked very good, and Saar, even though he still has a mistake in him, is improving massively compared to previous years. Truly believe if we get the injuries back and one or two more in to strengthen, then we are the best side in this league. Bowyer is doing an amazing job. Great atmosphere yesterday, and hope that that can remain for the rest of the season. Keep up the great work, guys, and here is to a top six finish minimum. Yeah, I mean, I can't see us finishing outside the top six.
No, no. I hope not. Yeah, I'd be very surprised.
We went on a horrific run, but again, like we've already said, the other teams around us haven't had a bad run either, really. It's all been much muchness, isn't it? So it's you would hope that if we did, potentially the others would as well. Like,
so yeah, it's got to happen to everyone at some
point.
And obviously Portsmouth going through in the FA Cup yesterday, that's going to be a distraction. Good result for them up at Norwich. It was
Luton have got a replay on theirs. They were 0-0. They had a higher league. It was a championship club, I believe. But they was 0-0, so they've got a replay. So that's going to sort of... I mean, they've got a fantastic squad and they're just flying at the minute.
A great manager as well, of course, in Nathan Jones. Right, yeah. Southwest Addicts on the Charlton Life Forum. A great advertisement for Lee Bowyer's Charlton yesterday, who displayed all the characteristics of why we are fourth in the table. We rode our luck in the first half, but Sunderland allowed us the belief to remain in the game and we were unlucky not to grab a winner. Saar and Morgan staked a claim to remain in the starting 11 even after we get players back from injury. Hopefully, we can get two more bodies in before next week and make a strong attempt at catching the top two. In Bowyer, we trust. Now, actually, we haven't really mentioned it, but there's one name that's floating about in terms of a potential body to come in. Now, this is the goalkeeper, Chris Maxwell from Preston. I saw the feather from the Sun. Alan, what's his name, Nixon or whatever, tweeting about it earlier. 28-year-old keeper up at Preston. He actually played quite a lot of games over the last couple of years for him, but he's been displaced by Declan Rudd this season. Now, we ain't really spoke about Phillips yesterday, Dills, but, I mean, if he comes in an experienced keeper like that, all of a sudden Dylan's got to be on his toes again.
I think that's the problem. Although I haven't just looked, he's Welsh, so I'd take him again. yeah, I think... I'm so happy that Dills has got back in. And we were just talking off air before the show about a couple of the decisions or non-decisions he made yesterday. One where he didn't look like he didn't call from across, and another where the ball was played over the top and he didn't go out to claim it, which happened once in either half, I think. But there's such a good keeper in there. And he came out after last week and he was pretty determined and bullish and said, no, I'm here and I deserve to be number one and I want to prove I am a number one because I'm not a number two goalkeeper. And I just think there's a keeper in there and we don't want to lose that trust that he might still have in the club, because I think we're very close to doing that. And I said at the start of the season I'd have brought some experienced keeper in to kind of mentor him, and I still agree with that. It looks like, is Maxwell about 28, I think?
28,
so, yeah, if he comes in, he's the sort of keeper that I think is just going to go straight back in. And if that happens, I think then Bowyer makes the decision that, look, I'm going to lose Dylan Phillips, because I don't think if Phillips loses his place again this season, he ends
up. You could hear that anger in his voice when we spoke to him after the game on New Year's Day against Walsall. And, I mean, we played it on the show on Thursday. If you haven't heard that, and if you go back and listen, because, I mean, you could hear the emotion in his voice. And that was really, if he doesn't play for the rest of the season, he's gone, unfortunately. I would hate to see that, because I think he's a great prospect for us. Kiwi Valley said, Saturday, Tuesday, togetherness, putting in a shift. Bowyer is a broken record that I love to listen to. He keeps it simple. He always says the same stuff. He always says, I just said to the lads, I feel for them. Saturday, Tuesday is actually my personal favourite. I had a clip towards the end of last year where he said little Jay De Silva about 50 times. So I cut him all out. I forgot to play it because we got knocked out of the playoffs, so I didn't really get a chance.
He hasn't got
to,
someone this year, has he? That
there was a little Josh Cullen, so if Josh was still playing, little Josh Cullen would have been a feature, but unfortunately not. Eddie Yowds points out there isn't any more Saturday, Tuesdays until March now, apparently. But Rossman said, with such a good performance against Sunderland with a depleted squad, can you imagine where we could be with a great new owner and a squad at full strength? I have a feeling this could be an exciting few months. And that's always very dangerous when Charlton fans get the bit between their teeth, isn't it? Because you definitely know we're getting relegated now, don't you? Sebo said, fans were top class yesterday. Even when we were struggling in the first half, the fans stayed with the players. The feel-good factor on the pitch, at least, is gradually coming back to the Curbs and the Powley days. And then he says, Sebo says he wants to play Bowyer Bingo in terms of like the things that he repeats. If we get a chance to, we'll set up a Bowyer Bingo card before the end of the season. Right, Dan Farmer on the emails. Hi guys, happy new year to you all. Yeah, happy new year to you as well, Dan. First half we weren't great, thought we stood off Sunderland a lot and let them get and let them play their game. Their goal came from us not picking up the right back, which either Prattley or Fosu should have picked up and tracked the runner. Second half, a lot better. We hunted the ball down and played our game. Taylor was excellent again, plus Fort Saar was really good as well. Boya and Jacko really bringing the best in Saar. Phillips was good, I thought, but he has to work on his kicking. But when you have a throw like he has, I suppose that's just as good. Yeah, his distribution with his hands is amazing. The atmosphere was like the old days. The fans were excellent. Roll on tomorrow, Roland out. And yeah, I'm praying that it does happen tomorrow, but we'll see
or
what
Tuesday.
Happens. Yeah, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or next year. Paul Griffiths, evening Charlton Live crew, a very happy new year to you all and to fellow Charlton supporting listeners. Let's hope we have news in the next few days that makes it a very happy start to the new year for all of us with Roland's departure. What a splendid advert yesterday was for League One, with two good teams, a passionate and lively crowd, and an attacking match with both teams clearly wanted to win. Great to have the Valley rocking again. If ever the old cliche of it being a game of two halves was spot on, it was yesterday. For the first 30 minutes, Sunderland outplayed us in pretty much every area. And if you'd offered me a one-all draw, I would have bitten your hand off. But whatever Lee Bowyer said to them at half-time clearly worked. We looked a completely different team in the second half, with the team clearly getting the better of Sunderland. And after getting a little lucky with the equaliser, could have gone on to won the game with two or three really good chances to take the lead. However, I spent the entire second half as a bag of nerves, convinced Sunderland would nick it at the end, same as you, Tom, really. Which, of course, so nearly did with that excellent chance in stoppage time, thankfully sailing over. I think a draw was a fair result, and with Sunderland being seen as the real danger team down here by the Pompey fans, it was certainly a result that went down well on the South Coast. Yeah, Paul, of course, lives down that way. I really hope that the rumours that Neil Harris were at the Valley yesterday as he wants to take Lyle Taylor run true, but I guess it would sum up the Roland regime if he sold our best player to Millwall just before he left. Thanks as ever for a great show.
Gets him in as manager.
I mean, I saw Neil Harris here yesterday, and I honestly just saw and thought, oh, tweet that Neil Harris is here. It caused an absolute storm of people panicking. I can't imagine. I mean, Richard Corley tweeted that he thought that it was just there on a watching brief.
And, he does come and watch us every now and then.
I've seen him a few times at games. So I mean,
he must get sick of seeing Millwall every week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The chaos that one tweet started. There's been a Millwall fan and a Charlton fan in my mentions for 24 hours now arguing, and they've copied me into every tweet, and I haven't responded to anyone just because of that. I really haven't bothered. But yeah, Neil Harris was here yesterday. Hopefully, just enjoying some lovely football
alongside some other football managers that can also be.
Curves was here yesterday. Maybe he's part of the takeover. Who knows?
Yeah.
And that guy from Luton was here. Who else was here? Everyone was here. Right. This one's from Aldrich Gaming. Says, hello, guys. It's Ollie Aldrich. What are your thoughts on Darren Prattley yesterday? Also, where do you think we need to strengthen? And if so, who should we sign? Lewis, I'll put you on the spot. All right. So, Prattley first.
Prattley.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Tom,
he wasn't great. He wasn't. He hasn't been great. I tell you what. Before his injury, I thought he looked fairly comfortable. But that was because he was more of an impact player coming off the bench and sort of shoring it up at the tail end of games. Starting a game, not so much. I think since he's come back from that injury, maybe whether he's playing and he's not 100%, he's not looked that great. And
what positions would you like? You don't have to name names because we're not football scouts. We haven't got all of them out there. But if you could sign one player to fit in one position to improve us, which one would you go for?
Oh, I think we need a left back.
Left back.
And I think I'm praying. Well, I don't see it happening, but it would be great. Bristol City have signed a new left back, so I'd like Jamie Silver to come back.
There we go. Right, we've got one more email. David Todman. Hi, guys. Despite a draw, a positive day and a great to be part of the crowd. First half, not sometimes hitting the front men early and not making the obvious forward passes and overlapping was frustrating. Second half, mixing it up and drawing with Sunderland out and going toe-to-toe football-wise, we were streets ahead. Albie Morgan looked an experienced player. Fosu's second half started playing intelligently and Prattley should have done better with the header at the far post. Real credit to Boyer and the skipper for building a level of confidence and positivity. My daughter said leaving the ground, it was like the old days under Curbs and the championship season under Sir Chris Powell. With players coming back and Williams looking a class act, it augurs well. Finally, let's hope the deal is done soon. And that is, I think, pretty much the official Charlton Live position as well. We hope the deal is done soon. Right, now, earlier on this afternoon, I went down to the Oakwood to watch the women's team play. It was actually a massive game against Durham. Durham just sat just a place behind Charlton in third, Charlton a second. Charlton have got a real good chance of going up this season, against all the odds as well, because there's a massive team in that division in the form of Manchester United. There's Tottenham as well, who have been doing well this season. Now there's us and Durham, who have both been keeping on their coattails and look like they've got a real chance to finish in that top two and get promoted to the top division as well. Now, I went to the game today. It wasn't the best performance from Charlton. They ended up getting a 2-2 draw. They were 1-0 up after an absolute horrible show at the back from... I've retweeted the highlights of the game. It's worth watching because it's quite funny. Like an absolute mix-up at the back where a Durham player went to roll it back to the goalkeeper, and just as the goalkeeper went to boot it away, she slipped over. It was so funny, which just left Ellie Bales literally with the ball at her feet on the line. Just, oh, Christmas has come late for me. She tapped it in. Then Durham got one just before halftime, Ness with a glorious curler. And then just as we're going up to halftime, she got another, because then our goalkeeper did exactly the same thing. Basically, she had the ball in her hands and dropped it, Katie Startup. So Ness came back and we battled away in that second half. Charlotte Gurr got a leveller 2 minutes from the end, which was really important, really, because you know if you lose that game, all of a sudden Durham are above you and you've given up a fair bit of ground in the chase for promotion. But we got a point, which is better than nothing. I spoke to both Charlotte Gurr, and first we're going to hear from the manager, Ritesh Mishra, after. Although, to be fair, he wasn't actually that pleased with the performance.
Bitterly disappointed, really. We came into the game knowing that we really want to be winning. And the way we started, we scored quite a fortunate goal, but I think after the goal they reacted pretty well and dominated the first half. So we had a bit of a reaction in the second half. We had a few moments of quality, but I think that even the viewers, if they're honest, the quality today and the level was quite poor. You could tell a lot of players hadn't played for 5-6 weeks. So overall, we're disappointed.
And mistakes leading to the goals, which don't see too often, which you must have been let down by.
Yeah, and look, we don't make many mistakes that costly, so unfortunate for us that they happened in a game like today, in the magnitude of it. But mistakes happen. We reacted okay. We managed to get back and get a point. And you know, some of the mistakes we made, not just for the goals, but just in general play, it's hard to justify us actually warranting any more than a point today. So sometimes you just kind of got to react better to the mistakes you make. I think that's one thing we can learn from.
But in the context of the season, of course, it's a useful point, because if you'd lost, Durham could have jumped above you.
I think if you look at it that way, we've not they've not been able to overtake us by too much, and we're still in a fight. We've a really difficult run in with Durham and then Man United back to back. It just puts a bit more pressure on us if we want to stay in that fight. Got to get something from the Man United game now, so at least it makes it crystal clear for us that we know exactly what we need to do against Man United. That's going to be difficult, but you know, I think that the players will give us a reaction this week. I expect them to, and I think they need to, and that gives us hopefully something to work towards on Sunday.
And you will take heart from the fact they were able to battle back and get another late goal here at the Oakwood.
Yeah, I said, you know, in the dressing room, the spirit was pretty good, the character was good. In the second half, I asked for it at the start of the game, and perhaps if we maybe started, we could have had the game dead, because I don't think Durham were that great today. So I think, yeah, we fought back a positive, but we can't really afford to get ourselves behind anyway. I'd like us to be able to have that fight, aggression, desire, passion before going a goal behind. So let's see if we can do that on Sunday.
I think points equal. They're a very good team. We know it's going to be hard today, and they're going to take points off teams for the rest of the season as well. So there's a few mistakes in the game. We started well, got 1-0 up, and then we made a couple of mistakes, which was silly, really. For they then got back in and they went 2-1 in the lead at half time. So we knew we had to fight. We changed our formation a little bit second half to try and combat theirs, which I think worked in the end. I think second half we were strong. We looked fit. We've been in all Christmas, we haven't really had a break, and I think definitely a point was definitely more than enough what we deserved.
And what about your goal? Talk us through that, right at the end.
Well, I've been playing at the back recently, so I'm usually like a bit higher up. So in the second half, we changed formation, like I said, so I was able to go up the pitch a little bit more. So I just kept on making those late runs. And I was grateful that one came in, and I just got my head onto it before the goalie got there.
And obviously, as we were sort of saying, they're only just behind us in the table, so to make sure they don't beat us at the very least was quite important.
Yeah, no, definitely. In the context of things, that's probably an important point at the end of the day. it would have been it would have been really disappointing if they'd actually got the 3 points from us, especially at home. And we know with Man United coming up, obviously next week, we knew it, we needed at least a point. And thankfully we got that, so now we can look forward to Man United and hopefully another good performance there.
Yeah, and also it's going to be a tough game against Man U, but Durham beat them last time out at home, so it's doable.
Yeah, no, definitely. Durham's a very good team, so we didn't underestimate them at all. So you never know. I think anyone could beat anyone in this league. And like you said, Durham beat them, Man United already, and we've picked up two draws against them where we could have easily won both of them. So it's not going to be an easy game for Man United. We're trained hard in the week. We're set up really well and see what we can do.
And obviously, I mean, if you can beat them next week, I mean, as the season's progressed, it's looking quite possible that Charlton could certainly be challenging for that top two.
Absolutely, that's what we're wanting. Obviously, we're newcomers to this league, so everyone's a bit wary of us and thinking they're going to be tricky. We're just going to take one game at a time. Every game's a win really needed for us. We prepare for it week in, week out, and see what we can do. We've got nothing to lose here, and hopefully we can get one of those top or second.
So there we go, that's Charlotte Gurr and Ritesh Mishra after today's 2-2 home draw with Durham at the Oakwood. Next Sunday, Man United are rolling up into town. We can beat them. I think if we go toe-to-toe with them, we can beat them and give us a chance to finish in that top two. So if you can get down there, it'll be a great game to go to. And if you can, it'll be a good afternoon there down at the Oakwood. Right, we've run out of time on this evening's Charlton Live. It's absolutely flown by. Thanks to all of you who've got involved with your tweets, your emails, your forum posts and whatnot. It's kept us going. It's been a good week, I think, here at Charlton. A good few weeks, but it's been a good week. Everyone loves a little bit of takeover tingling, so we'll see where that goes. A great performance on the field yesterday. Looking forward to being back here on Thursday night to look ahead to next Saturday's game with Shrewsbury. So we'll be back here on Thursday, me, Tom and Nath, hopefully. But that's it for tonight. Tom, thank you for coming in.
Cheers, mate. See you Thursday.
Lewis, good to see you.
Yeah, and you, mate.
And Sue, it's always good to see you as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You'll start coming in more often again now. You're more than welcome.
Yes,
yeah,
I will.
Now we're good again. You're more than welcome. Clearly lucky. Right, this has been Charlton Live. Thank you for listening. I've been Louis Mendes. We'll be back here on Thursday night. But I hope you've enjoyed this evening's show and we shall see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.